I'm just really, really glad to be here with you. Love you, and so I just wanted to share some things with you. And this is lovely, lovely Heather. I'm sure you guys all know her. I'm Sandra. So we wanted to share something with you this morning. It's about a ministry that's in Falkirk Vineyard that has been growing and thriving for many years now. But if you've joined us during or after lockdown, you may not know very much about it. So Falkirk Vineyard is the UK Advocates for Eden. It's an amazing and powerful ministry, and we oversee it. Well, Heather is the UK manager, and I tag along. But we wanted to take a little bit of time this morning just to fill you in and to let you know what it's about, the exciting things that God has been doing and is doing now, and how maybe, if you want to, how you can get involved. So, Heather, I'm just going to ask you some questions and you can help me out here. Could you share with us what Eden is about and what is their mission?
Well, Eden is an organisation that rescues young girls from human trafficking. It is absolutely incredible. And they have a sort of mission statement, which is that they focus on outreach and advocacy strategies in the red light districts. And they're going into like the trafficking hubs and vulnerable communities as well. And the work that they actually do within that is incredible. So that's kind of what they do, and we'll fill you in with the rest of it when we're talking.
Yeah. So, Heather, can you tell us about some of the realities, the really stark realities of human trafficking in our world today?
Well, one of the big things for me was, obviously, before I got involved with Eden, I didn't really know much about human trafficking. And one of the most shocking things that I have learned and found out since being involved with Eden is that now in history is the worst that human trafficking has ever been. And when I used to think back to the slavery and things like that, and when I was younger, thinking that was the worst, but actually now is the worst. That is really, really shocking. And at the moment, this is just a rough guide, 40.3 million. Now that is rough. There is probably more than that in the world today who are caught up in this terrible, terrible industry. And actually, what COVID has actually made this worse. This is what we've found out. COVID has actually accelerated this because of industry and what COVID has done to places. So it's actually accelerated the pimps and things to be doing this. And it is really awful. So I think that that number will be much, much more than that. And these people are just preying on vulnerable people who are in a really, really vulnerable situation, especially with COVID. And over in Myanmar at the moment, they have a military coup, which has been awful, absolutely awful. And then they have now got COVID on top of that. I mean, we just can't really imagine or get our heads around what they're having to go through and things. So it's actually made it worse, and so all these families are falling prey to traffickers and things. And there's girls as young as 12, and I probably think that it would be younger than that, who are getting caught up in this industry. So that is why we have to say now is the time for this all to stop. It has to stop, and it really now is the time. If there's ever been a time in history, I feel personally that God's been saying to me the urgency of now is the time to, you know, that this has to put in a stop to stop.
So, can you tell us about some of the ways that Eden is helping to rescue? I know you've shared a little bit about the mission, but can you just maybe share with us a little bit more in depth of what does Eden do to help rescue these women?
So Eden has I don't know what you call it, Sandra, but it's a go.
Reach, rescue, restore. That's so, their three little prongs.
Yeah, that's the three things that Eden kind of go on, and that's really wonderful. So the reach part is they reach out to like schools, they go into communities, and what they do is they educate people, they educate the parents about the risk of human trafficking, and the same with the schools. They go in and say to these kids, you know, to look out that this is what happens, because a lot of what happens is that somebody will come along and say that they have a job for these kids, and they are literally...
It's a well-paying job, that's what I'm saying.
A well-paying job. So that's how they kind of lure parents into this false sense of security, thinking that their kids are going to be getting this job, and actually they're just taken away and flung in the room, basically. So Eden likes to go in, and they have outreach as well within that. They have a new drop-in centre, which has been amazing.
Tell us about the drop-in centres.
The drop-in centres is where, they have this sort of room, Sandra, a centre where these girls can just come in off the street, and they can get showered, it's amazing, and their clothes all washed. They educate them in these centres, they have computers and everything, so they have that, and they also do some counselling within that centre as well, and just try and just love these girls, and try and, I guess, give them that sense that they can get away from what they're doing, and that Eden's there, and that they can, you know, that they can come, and Eden will help them. So that's what they're sowing me seeds of hope while these girls are in there getting all that. This is quite a new thing, and it's been very, very successful. It's quite exciting, the Melbourne Centre. And they also go on outreach as well, and that, like, they'll hand out food and things to the girls, supplies that they need as well. They get that, and that's when they start to have, like, the relationships start to come up, and then the girls start, there's a trust thing here, the girls start to trust the people within Eden, and it's just like that's like the beginning of a journey. You know, for these girls, and trust's a big thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they also have a mobile HIV van, which we have been in. Big black van.
Okay, I'll tell you about that.
And Sandra and I have been in that van. And so this is amazing. So when they go out, the pimps allow them to get tested for HIV, which is a miracle. God is so in this. He really is so in this. And so while they get the girls in the mobile unit, they are away from the pimps, so then they can speak to the girls, tell them about Eden, you know, and try and help them to say, you know, escape and things. So that is absolutely incredible that they can do that. That is amazing.
Yeah, so now we're kind of going into the rescue part of what they do.
Yeah.
So can you tell us more about that?
So Eden have quite a few shelters because it's been growing. So they have quite a few shelters in different countries that enable these girls to come into and, you know, to be rescued. And they're very safe shelters. Again, we've been there. And what they do is they, within that, they are helping these girls spiritually and helping, I guess, them to heal with counselling and things like that. So that's a huge part. And actually, the love thing is really, really, really huge. That because these girls have never had proper love, anything that they've been told about before, these pimps or boyfriends has just been very, very artificial, and so that's where they lose their trust and things. But within Eden, you can feel the love. I mean, it oozes love, doesn't it? And you can really feel it in your body that's these girls are, you know, that they're receiving that. It helps to strengthen them as well. And there's also, they have a mother and baby shelter. There's so much to tell you, I'm trying to think of all. They also have a mother and baby shelter, which is incredible because a lot of these girls come in and they're pregnant. Very, very, very young girls, and they're pregnant. So what they have, this mother and baby shelter where they get cared for and their kids get cared for and looked after while they go and get therapy. So their kids are, and then it helps them to, probably to bond with their kids, because you can imagine they're pregnant, it's been in horrendous circumstances. But that helps the process for these young mums and gives them a chance.
Helps to strengthen the families, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So beautiful. Well, brief week. I know there's a lot more to say, but can you share with us a little bit about, like, what does Eden try to do to bring restoration into these girls' lives? Because there's obviously, like you're saying, there's so much trauma that they faced. What does Eden try to do to kind of help them?
So they have a lot of therapy within Eden, and the actual therapy is a big thing, where they have counsellors. And that enables these young girls to go in and in that safe space and to just to start to trust, start to uncover the deep hurts and the traumas that they have experienced in their lives, and slowly through the therapy they can get that out, and then within that. And the therapy, it's like showing them that they are so loved, that they are so valued, that they are worth something, that God loves them, and that no matter what they've been through, they are not defined by that. And that is huge. And that's one of the biggest things, I think, that Eden does for these girls, just to restore them back to who God has made them to be. Not what's happened in their lives, not their circumstances, but who God looks at them and sees who they are. So they do that.
I was just going to say, and then all the other things that they do to kind of help rescue them, that all flows from that.
Yeah.
Is they start with just bringing healing and restoration to these girls, and then the dreams is allowing them to dream again. What do they want? And then the education is just to give them opportunities, and the vocational training, all of that stuff is to build upon giving these girls a future and a hope and something that they can look forward to, because so much of that has been stripped away from them just through the trauma that they've experienced. So
they actually have a dream world, don't they, Sandra?
Yes.
So one of the things that we noticed when we went into Eden, there was the wall, and it's called the dream wall. And so when the girls go in, they get like a canvas, and what they have to do is they paint what their dream is, what they perceive, what they would like for their life. And when you see some of these pictures, they are amazing. And Eden actually will go on to help to make that dream come true. And they have done that with girls. You know, girls have drew what they want to be a hairdresser or, you know, whatever. And Eden have actually helped that dream come true. And but when you see the wall, it breaks your heart, because the things that are up on that wall we take for granted. We actually take for granted. And when you see the simplicity of what they're dreaming, which is big for them, isn't it? And we really do take so much for granted. And it's lovely that these girls have the opportunity to fulfil their dreams. I think that's really the big goal, isn't it, for Harida, fulfil their dreams.
Yeah.
It's really special.
And I think along with that is Eden does so much, and we've just barely scratched the surface of what they do. They really do. They do so much to help these women. They just walk alongside them. It's beautiful. But I think for us, it's been really important to stay connected to these women, because they are the reason why we're here. They're the reason why we do what we do. But Eden also does an amazing job of highlighting these women's stories. And so just, we wanted to share with you Marlar's story with you right now.
For me, I know that learning to speak up was the key to my freedom. I was born in a poor village, and it was hard for my family to survive. With 8 children to feed, we moved to the city in the hope of a better life, but it did not get better. Soon after the move, my mother passed away. My father worked hard and tried his best to look after us. He remarried, but still we struggled. When I was 15, my stepmother's sister told my father about a good job for me in a bordering country. He hoped for a better future for me and hugged me tight before I left with her. After the long journey, my aunt and I arrived at the border. I slowly realized that this was my aunt's brother and this was the new job she had promised. I was so scared. I begged and begged her to take me home. She said my parents had already taken money from her, so I had to work. If I complained, they hurt me. I felt so scared and alone. Every day I would look up the window at the mountain tops and wish that I could jump up them. I just wanted this to stop. My aunts forced me to tell lies about my situation, which hurt the people I loved the most. One day, I managed to sneak a phone call to my father. He immediately told the authorities and police raided the brother. My aunt and the pimps were arrested. I was scared and ashamed to face my family. I barely spoke. My father was worried for me and wanted to get me help. The authorities told him about Aiden. When he and I arrived at Aiden, I did not want to speak. I did not want anyone else to know what I had done. At Aiden, they didn't mind that I was quiet. They were kind and cared for me. I still did not speak. I thought that if they knew, they would reject me. Counseling helped me understand that I was not to blame. The other rescued women shared their story of hope and love with me. Finally, I was able to forgive my aunt, my parents, and myself. In those first days at Aiden, I loved making the jewelry. I could sit and listen to the other girls talking and laughing. I was surprised that I could make something so beautiful. After being here for a year, I graduated and Eden offered me a full-time job as their jewelry workshop manager. When a new woman arrives at Eden, I welcome her and teach her how to make the jewelry. I speak words of hope and love. I want to use my voice to help them find the courage to heal, because I remember how I needed those messages of encouragement when I first came to Aiden. When someone puts on a piece of Aiden jewelry, they speak up for women like me as we walk to find our own voice again. Thank you.
We welcome you guys to look at thisiseden.com, and this is sharing all these beautiful stories of these women who've been rescued, and their stories are so powerful. They're so beautiful, and it shows just the hope and just the power of what God can do just through love and through just the amazing things that Eden does. So, yeah. Now, let's move down here. So, what has it been like to be a part of Eden, and how do you see Eden growing in the UK now, Heather?
And this is very exciting for me, and I really feel like it's a new chapter. So, before, before COVID, we went out, we did things with Eden, it was amazing, and it was like sort of building up the foundations. I felt that was us building the foundations for Eden. We had an amazing team, and I want to honour every single person who has helped with Eden. These girls are amazing, and we absolutely love them. And as a team, we built Eden up, and then we just started to dream, and then COVID hit. So now it's incredible, because what I feel is, I honestly feel that it's like a new beginning almost. It's really strange. I feel like we're kind of starting again, because it's different. And I really feel that God has got some amazing things for us as a team. And we've already had, we had an event in February, and we had an event this month. And between these two events, I think it was about £3,000, which is incredible, because that was just over a period of just a few hours.
It's just been unprecedented. We've never had that level of support, and it's so encouraging to see what God is doing.
Yep.
And we've ventured into wholesale opportunities, yep. And we've also are even looking at possibly having a new branch set up within the UK, which is huge. Mm. It was always the dream, yeah, to not just be take Eden out.
The dream at the start for me has always been, God showed me a picture of a tree, and I still see that tree, and He is the centre of that tree. But out with that tree, there is branches, and God has shown me that we will have branches all over the UK. And we've already had a few inquiries about that, which is super, super exciting. And I really feel like now these things are going to happen, and I feel that Eden's going to get bigger in the UK. So very, very exciting. Very exciting.
Yes,
that is amazing.
So, say someone is feeling very moved or encouraged, what can they do to support Eden?
Well, first of all, people think, like, what can I do? It's such a big issue. But actually, just buying a piece of jewellery is huge. We have seen that. It's huge, because you're supporting these girls. Every penny goes to Eden. They get a wage, and then it furthers. So just that little thing in itself. But you can also, a big thing for us is telling people about Eden. So when you're wearing your jewellery, you can tell people the meaning behind your jewellery, which is, and just share about Eden, and because that's how it gets about, isn't it? And if you see things on social media, you know, you can go on social media, this is Eden UK, we have a UK page as well, but even just sharing that, share that with your friends, because that's in this world today, that is how this thing happens. But for us, because I'm saying, I feel this is a new season, a new beginning, a big thing is we want to build a new team up. So if you feel that your heart is stirred about this, and it's something you'd like to be part of, which is an amazing, amazing, we are just a little tiny cog, and you know, the feeling to be that little tiny piece to be helping Eden is amazing. So you can have that as well. And also age, do not, how young you are, how old you are, Age has got nothing to do with it. You can still be part of something incredible and do such a lot for Tim. So if you would like that, please come to one of us. There's Nora as well. If you want to come, approach us. We would love, super love to have people to come and join us. So, yeah.
Oh, well, it's just parting notes that have been on my heart is God's desire for the world is for it to be a place of wholeness, justice, love, peace, and he invites us as his followers to join him in his mission, making this a reality. And we're called to spread just the love of God into places of deep brokenness, both locally and globally. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is empowering Eden to rescue daughters and sons, not just the girls, but the pimps as well. And they're the ones who are lost in just this deep, dark underbelly of trafficking, but they're being rescued, and that is just precious. It's so beautiful just to see that. And he's using Eden to break down the strongholds of these red light districts, to close down brothels.
Close down full red light districts.
Full red light districts. And to release those that are enslaved by this horrible evil. He's just changing the landscape of just places down there, and it's so beautiful to see when this happens. Like when you get the news that just the brothels have been closed down, you feel like this is what the kingdom of God is like. And so it's here in the UK, God is inviting us to support Eden by, just all these things that Heather was sharing with us. And we love being a part of it. So just lastly, it's just that we recognize God is the liberator. And Eden shares in his heart that no one, not one of his image bearers should be bought or sold or treated as less than the precious creation of God that they are. And here at Falkirk Vineyard, we are passionate about sharing the same heart. So I just wanted to share one last little scripture that is really dear to Eden's heart. So I'll read it, and then Heather, would you pray for us at the end? Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her ruins. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of a melody.
Father God, we just come before you and we thank you for the amazing privilege of being part of Eden. Father, we pray for Eden, we pray for the work that they're doing, we pray for these beautiful, precious girls, Father God. And we just thank you for being part of that. Father, I pray that the UK will burst, flow over. I know it will, Father God, and I just pray for that for Eden in the UK. And I pray, Father God, that people will come on board with us, Lord, and just want to promote Eden and just be part of a cog in the what is happening, Father God. And Father, I thank you personally for Falkirk Vineyard and for just that they have taken Eden on, and that's giving us the opportunity to serve Eden. Father, we pray that you would be in absolutely everything that we think, that we say, that we do. Father, go before us. You are the one that opens every door. I've never had to open a door. You have brought it all to us, Father God. And you know, with you there is always more. And that's exciting. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That was great, wasn't it? Maybe we just encourage you to. Just thought before we close, you know, the God's power to rescue isn't just about in the extremes. Because what Heather and Sandra are talking about out in my mind is an extreme that we don't really, certainly we don't see it visibly in our country. But our God is a God of rescue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a God is a God who reaches out to people, to men, women, boys, girls. Yeah. And his heart is to rescue people and to be in a relationship with them. And what I love about Eden is, I mean, it's, you know, the jewellery, when you buy that jewellery, you're buying it not for charity, you're buying it, it's actually a business. So these girls are employed, you make the jewellery, but all the funds that you make go straight back there. I can tell you, as someone who has bought a lot of jewellery in his life, I kind of signed up to that in a married way. This is quality stuff. This isn't, you know, someone making this in a kitchen. You know, it's like, or as a hobby, this is proper stuff. And each piece of jewellery has a story. It has a story with it. And as the girl said there, you can tell that story. I remember them going to the Howgate Centre one time and doing it. People were coming past and they were able to tell the stories behind the girls who made the jewellery. And these stories aren't just great stories of rescue. These are stories about God. These are stories about the power of God's ability to rescue and change lives. So I just want to why don't we start? Just two minutes to do this. God loved the world so much that he gave his son so that he could rescue us. He gave his son so that whoever believed in him, whoever says yes to him, would have a changed life and have an eternal life. God didn't send his son Jesus in the world to condemn the world. He sent him to save the world, to rescue the world. So if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, or maybe you have, but you've kind of wandered away from God, then, you know, it's never too late. It's never too late. You know, sometimes I think we can feel embarrassed or unworthy to come to God and say, need you, made a mess of things. But you know, as we heard that story of Marla, you know, when she first went to Eden, she didn't even speak. That was a shame. It wasn't even her shame, but the shame that was imposed upon her. But God understands that. God understands that.